more or nothing.
Hello and welcome to this very special edition of More or Nothing. We are up close and personal with Australian Sevens legend Charlotte Caslick. Moments after their bronze medal at the Hong Kong Sevens, Ryan Wilson is cripplingly hungover, doesn't really remember doing the interview, but hopefully we've managed to edit it so it's enjoyable enough for you all. So enjoy.
Right, here we are with Charlotte Caslick. A little bit somber, sad. You didn't go out like me last night. I am absolutely hanging, but you didn't go out because you didn't finish where you wanted to finish. You ended up third.
Yeah.
But lost against New Zealand.
Yeah, we lost to New Zealand in our semi, which unfortunately they lost a pool game. So then that made us cross over earlier than we usually would like to cross with them. But yeah, we're probably just not where we want to be this season at the moment, like in terms of like the combinations and connection on the field. And we've got a bit of work to do. So our coaching staff was laid down the law and told us to keep it.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't a captain's call?
No, it wasn't a captain's call.
If you had had your way, you would have been out.
Well, my face is all swollen, so I felt like if I drank, it would be worse.
So's mine, but that's from just drinking. I'm putting it down to flying, drinking, and jet lag and a bit of a hangover. Oh, so it wasn't your call. I thought maybe a captain's call, sensible.
No.
Are you the sensible captain? You're the one that goes, right, girls, listen, we've just, not been where we want to be. Let's take it easy, or are you
the one that pushes the boat? I guess we've had lots to celebrate since I've been captain, so I've been pretty lucky in the sense that I've always been like allowed to let them live their best lives. And they're a group of I think our average age is like 22, 23. So I'm pretty big on letting them enjoy the, I guess, travel experiences overseas, celebrating the little things in life.
Well, you've got to do it, eh? Because that's got to be one of the best things about Plan Sevens is getting to travel the world and see, you go out and you go and explore, and talking about this hike that I'm meant to be doing in a minute. But you go and do all those things. You've got to enjoy it whilst you're doing it, eh?
Yeah, and we like to think that we like do all our preparation at home. So once we get here, we can actually enjoy the week together. We try and get out and do some stuff in the whichever city that we're in, like cultural experiences, and then like to enjoy ourselves after the tournament. But for this one, unfortunately, obviously Hong Kong's also one of the best places to celebrate. So we were pretty disappointed, but it's just not the season to, I guess, celebrate coming third. We kind of want to keep pushing forward towards Paris.
But that shows like where you girls have gone, like, because 2016, you won a gold in Rio, didn't you? And women's sevens player of the year, am I right? 2022, you had pretty good going, Commonwealth Games, won that. You won the Sevens World Cup in Cape Town. So you've done pretty well in your time. So I guess that's sort of set a standard now. And from there, you're like, third's not good enough for us.
Yeah, we definitely have high standards. And I think the areas in the game that let us down was some like errors under fatigue. And I think we pride ourselves on being the fittest and working the hardest. So when that's not showing on the field, I think on reflection, we feel like we've got a lot of work to do and we want to keep those standards high. So there's actually, I think, 10 of the girls out training today, which is pretty grim.
But I can't believe that.
We have most of this week off, so they'll train today. We'll get back, train Wednesday, have Thursday, Friday off, and then reset next week.
So 10 of the, so how, what size squad do you bring over them? Because if 10 of them are training, surely some of the girls that played yesterday.
Oh, there might be 9 training, 4 of us aren't. Yeah.
And some of the girls that played yesterday are training today?
Yeah.
But there's no rest for the wicked, eh?
No rest, but yeah, I think obviously going into a tournament, our training loads are a little bit less. So then if you don't play a lot of minutes, our coaching staff get kind of worried about like injury risks and just like fitness levels and stuff. So they just have to top them up post-tournament.
Bloody hell. And so you fly out today. We were chatting earlier. One thing I'm really interested in is obviously the women's game is growing so fast. You girls are a massive part of that. Obviously there's a lot of the New Zealand ladies that are doing really well, but How good is it to see the women's game just exploding, not just in sevens, but across 15s as well?
Yeah, it's awesome. Obviously, the Six Nations games have been sold out in the last couple of weeks too, which is incredible. And back home, we're looking forward to hosting the Women's Rugby World Cup. I think like that'll hopefully help boom the 15-a-side game in Australia. But yeah, ever since I started, I think there's two girls on the team that debuted this weekend that I've got photos with them when they were like 12, 13 years old. Right? And then...
Mate, you feel old, eh?
I know. Then I presented their jerseys to them before the tournament, and we got like remade the photos to put them side by side. And I guess just the pathway that like Ruby, for example, who made her debut, she played ever since she was a little girl, watched us in Rio. She's done all the pathway all the way through. And for girls like me, I only started playing when I was 17. The only way to play was if you were playing for Australia. So we kind of got fast-tracked into the sport and then just, yeah, thrown in the deep end. But they've had like this full development process. And I think you can see within the depth of both our squad, New Zealand squad, how many more girls must be playing rugby.
Yeah, it was blown up. And I read somewhere that when you were younger, I think it was at school, you had to train with the boys, right? Because there was no girls team.
Yeah, we didn't have a girls team when I was at school. So one of my teachers, Mr. Sione, he's actually coaching the USA women's team now.
That sounds like a proper tongue. Mr. Sione.
Yeah, well, his last name has a few, I don't even know how to say it. But
So they just call him Mr. Sione?
Yeah, just call him Mr. Sione.
It would be like a Tupolotu or someone like that. Eh?
So yeah, he let me train with the first 15 boys, which was really cool. And now obviously he's coaching the USA Eagles girls in the 15s, which is awesome just to see, like, I guess his progression as a coach too.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. Right? That must be amazing for you, like, to think, like, back then you had to train with the boys team because there were no girls team. And now you look at where women's rugby is gone. It must make you really proud, eh? Like, to see it going so well.
Yeah, it does, for sure. I think just even going out to club rugby games and seeing girls like as young as 5, 6 playing rugby, and then having the opportunity to play, like when you were in Australia, once you got to 12, you had to stop playing until you were back into the open ages. But now you can play the whole way through. So there's girls teams in under 12s, 14s, 16s, and they have those opportunities to play like at school and at club. And then they even have like pathways to play, I guess, for like Queensland or their states and national sides.
Because you were born and raised in Brisbane.
Yeah.
But living in Sydney at the moment, just down there, like that, if I could just uplift my life from Glasgow, pissing with rain constantly and stick it down somewhere, I'd be in Coogee. Yeah. But you're in Sydney, that's where the girls train.
Yeah.
And so you've got to live there full time and full time training.
Yeah, we lived in Sydney. I think I moved down in 2014. We were the first Australian women's sporting team to go full-time, which was also pretty cool. So we became full-time in 2014, and I've lived down there ever since then. But yeah, I can't wait to go back home to Queensland at some point.
Oh, really?
I love Sydney, but it's
You're a country girl, aren't you?
Yeah, it's not quite home.
Well, there's a lot of firsts, because you're the first woman to do that. You're the first woman to win the Olympics. You're also the first woman to get 50 series tournaments under her belt. Like, again, incredible achievements. You were talking to me, your mum and dad are potentially going to Singapore. Whether you go out there, you're not sure yet. But your family must be so proud, like, watching you. Have you got brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I've got 2 older brothers.
Oh, I bet they're jealous of you doing what you do. Do they play rugby?
One of my brothers played sevens as well for a bit. They both played rugby growing up, and they're...
But you're showing them how it's done.
Yeah. They're definitely my biggest fans, though. Like, they've been so supportive. I've been really lucky, I think. Men and boys have always been super supportive of my rugby career. I've never really had anyone tell me that, like, rugby was for boys and that I shouldn't play it, which I think has been really lucky. Like, whether it was my teachers or my friends from school or my brothers and my dad, they've always been probably my biggest fans ever. So yeah, I've been really lucky.
That is awesome. So let's talk about just quickly Hong Kong sevens. Right, this is iconic. This is my first one I've ever been to. I only got to do the Sunday yesterday. I heard Saturday was incredible. Like, in terms of atmosphere, is one of the best you've played at?
Oh yeah, for sure. Last year, I think it wasn't at its full capacity due to like the hangover from COVID, but it was back to itself this year, and it was amazing. Like, mental. The best, yeah, atmosphere that we get to play in front of. And even, like, the balance within the crowd. Like, obviously, the South Stand's absolutely mental. Like, yeah. When you're walking down there, a girl actually did a shoey out of my footy boot, which is, like, so gross.
After you play?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah,
no
she
way.
Was like, can I do a shoey? And I was like, so gross. But, yeah.
Aussie?
Sure.
Aussie?
Yeah.
Oh, how good. That is amazing.
Took it out with them last night. They were sending me, like, updates of where my footy boots were going all night. and they were trying to, like, hustle, sell them. And, yeah, which was cool. But I think you wouldn't get that anywhere else in the world. And then you go down the other end of the stadium and there's just, like, these gorgeous kids that – just love rugby and they're there with their families, and so it had like the best of both. You know, there was people really enjoying themselves, having a big party, and then there was also the gorgeous kids that hopefully one day will want to be out there playing too.
Like for me yesterday, going to that and like seeing the atmosphere in the party, that they're doing Sevens do it right,
yeah,
don't they? They're like,
yeah.
Sevens, it's a party atmosphere. Obviously, it's easy. It's a big tournament. It's a full day, but. There's something that 15s could learn from it, right? Because even after the game, you girls, I see all the players sort of doing the full rounds, walking around the pitch, signing autographs, taking photos with everyone after they've played.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to be, if you're a 15s team, you're looking at it going, hold on a minute, there's something right about Sevens here that they're doing, and maybe we should try and take a little bit from that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely so enjoyable. I know, obviously, I'm usually playing, but we went to London Sevens last year because we finished the week before in Toulouse to go watch the boys, and we had like the best time ever. Like, it was just so much fun, and the atmosphere in the crowd and like the interaction that you get with players is, I think, a little bit different to when you're watching 15s.
Yeah, oh god, it was mental yesterday. Just some quick fire stuff, right? Am I right in saying you've never played 15s, or have you played 15s?
I've played like 5 club games. Because I couldn't tackle when I first started, so they sent me to 15s to be like, just go and learn how to tackle.
Is that right? That's how they do it?
Yeah.
And so who did you play club games for?
West Bulldogs in Brisbane.
But don't fancy it. It's like not your game. Like, let's say the Aussie women's are coming and they said, Charlotte, any chance you can come? Give us a hand. We need someone at your stature helping us out.
Yeah, I definitely have thought about it. Obviously, the World Cup next year is pretty tempting.
Yeah, of course.
To make the crossover and do that. But yeah, I think it'll just see how like works in with my life and also I guess like Sevens and whatever else.
Are you going to be exclusive? Are you going to be playing in the World Cup next year?
No, I don't know. But if I am fit and healthy, I would love to.
Because you've seen a lot of players. Like, let's talk quickly about Michael Hooper, who's come over from 15s. And he's tearing it up. 77 on his back. That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah. I think Sevens taken by Josh Turner. So, and in the Sevens series this year, no one can have the same number. So you all get your own number.
Yeah.
77 was next best for him.
Have you spent much time with him? Have you spoke to him much? Sort of picked his brains?
Yeah, a little bit. He's kind of picking my brain more than me picking his at the moment.
Yeah,
I think, obviously, because he's crossing to Sevens. But I think just like his... attitude towards training and like getting the best out of himself is pretty inspiring. Like, you see him almost every morning. He puts like this little cross up on the wall and he's just like throwing passes over and over and over at the wall, and he's doing it all on his own pretty much. He just goes in there an hour before anyone else gets here, and
is that right?
He just doing like basic skills over and over, and I guess with our young group, we've been trying to encourage them to do the same. Like, perfection is boring, and just doing repetitive, boring reps really pays off. So
that is so cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been great for, I think, our whole group to be able to watch him and see the way that he applies himself to training.
Yeah, well, that's it for young players. Like, you hear of it, don't you? And,
yeah.
Like, you hear of the professionalism and people that get to the top of the game. But actually, people like him,
yeah,
that's why they are where they're at. And for him to come into this and... You look at Anton Dupont, who's transferred over. I bet he's exactly the same, right?
Yeah, for sure. No, he's been incredibly inspiring. And I think even for the boys, just having him around really lifts, just the professionalism of the group. And they all want to impress him. And, I think they've just loved having him there. And, like, his communication and those skills that I guess you get from an experienced player really showing.
Yeah, because I think I heard an interview with someone. He said he was 50% nerves, 50% excitement. But that's really interesting that he was picking your brains. You've got Michael Hooper, obviously legend of Australia, coming and picking your... But you are the legend of sevens, so...
Yeah, or he said to me before we left last week or the week before, he was just like, I just don't know how you've done this for so long. Like, my body is screaming at me.
Oh, really?
But I was just like, oh, you kind of, I think you just get used to it. Like, obviously he's just transitioned. So in time he'll be fine.
Yeah, because it's not just the plane, right? It's the traveling. Like,
yeah.
I think having to go long haul flights, travel, get over jet lag, try and get into that. There must be a routine that you have to get into to try and get over jet lag. Like, there's a lot of stuff in place, isn't there, to sort of work around that.
Yeah, there is. There's obviously some people do it better than others. Like, we have some girls that'll get home, just sleep all day, and then end up having to be awake for like 48 hours straight. And you don't really get much chance to, like, if you haven't slept the night before and you've got training the next day, you've got no choice but to show up. So you kind of just get used to it. But I think just like getting out in the sunshine, we're obviously lucky in Australia. You can get home in Sydney and we can go to the beach and hang out for the day.
It's not like Glasgow.
Yeah, it's much easier, I think, to adapt.
You've played, and just lastly, before we go on to these quickfire stuff, am I right in saying you did a little bit of NRL?
Yeah.
Was that around COVID time? Did you do
some
NRL
during COVID stuff? Because we obviously couldn't travel being in Australia. So I played a season of NRLW, but I only lasted 1.5 games. I fractured my transverse processor in my spine in the second game, so I didn't last the season.
But is that something you'd like to do as well, though, look at NRL? Because that, again, in Oz, that's the biggest game, isn't it? Union's so small compared to NRL.
Yeah, rugby league and AFL are like massive back in Australia, but I don't know, I love rugby and I love like the world game and like being able to travel and the complexity of rugby. Like, yeah, there's just things about rugby that I like a little bit more than rugby league at the moment.
League's too easy, just too straight easy. Up and down.
It's just, yeah, I would love to stay in rugby, I think, for like see out my career in rugby, whether it's sevens or 15s.
Right, quick fire stuff. What are we on? Oh, we're going good. Are you ready for these?
Yep.
Favourite thing about Hong Kong Sevens?
The atmosphere.
The best tournament on the circuit?
Dubai.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Better than Hong Kong?
Yeah, was I meant to say Hong Kong?
No. All good. Why Dubai?
I don't know. It's hot. It's dry. I love like the like outside tournament and the crowd's like really close to the field, which is really fun, and my parents always come, so
Dubai is pretty cool as well, isn't it? I love Dubai.
Yeah, it's a cool city.
I swear, yeah, it won't be as humid as here. Like, I bet yesterday was greasy, wasn't it?
Yeah, whereas Dubai is such, it's a hot but it's really dry heat, so like the ball is always dry and you just, I don't know, the field feels fast.
I do love Dubai.
Yeah.
Who's your roommate?
Maddie Levi.
Always?
Yeah.
And that's it? You always room together?
Yeah, this season we've tried to keep them consistent. So, yeah, have her every time.
Nice. And who would be the worst roommate?
Oh, God.
Go on.
Probably Maddie Levi.
Is that right?
No, she's fine. We work really well together. That's why we get put together. But I don't think we'd have a worse one. We kind of, like, work them out so everyone finds, like, their pair.
Yeah. No, I was always the same. I always room with John Barkley for Scotland, no matter what. And then I arrived yesterday. And he was here, and I went into his bedroom, and he was there, and I just felt, it just felt normal.
Felt like home.
Yeah, just felt nice. Who's the quickest player on the team?
Maddie Levi.
Is she?
Yeah.
Who's the quickest women's player on the circuit?
Maddie Levi.
Oh, yeah?
I think so. She's pretty rapid.
She does it all.
She does it all, yeah.
Where is she? I should be interviewing her.
Best roommate, worst roommate, fastest.
Toughest opponent you've come up against?
Like team or player?
Player or team? Player, both, yeah. Both.
I think, obviously, we have, like, great battles against New Zealand, but we're pretty, like, even with them. The French girls just seem to belt us. So sometimes, they're pretty tough. But I think, like, in terms of, all-round game, the Kiwi girls are pretty awesome. They're physical, they're fast, they've got great ball skills. So, but, like, as a package, they're, pretty incredible.
But yeah, you guys butt heads. Do you hang out with much of them, like when you're here? Like, you must see them in and around the hotel.
Yeah, we see each other a lot. Like, obviously, we have breakfast in the same rooms and cross paths a lot. But in tournament mode, you kind of don't really, like...
Yeah, it must be hard, eh? Because together. You're going down to breakfast. Do you all eat in the same sort of breakfast room? So you're going down to breakfast. There's the players that you're about to play against. I can't imagine, like, in 15s, going to have breakfast with a team that you're about to go and try and take the head off.
Yeah, it's pretty bizarre, but I think, like, for most of us, it's all we've ever known. Like, that's the way we've always done it. So, yeah, it's just the way it is.
It is interesting.
Yeah, it's weird.
Best night out on the circuit?
I feel like we had our best night out ever in Spain, in Seville, which was, like, in 2022, I think.
Why was that?
I don't know. It was just so fun. Just it was, Spain. Like, this, like, weird underground dungeon that was, like, 100 metres from the hotel. A few people got left behind on the way to the airport. None of the girls, only the boys. We all rally together and make sure no man gets left behind. But, it was just really fun. And we won the tournament, so that always lifts, I guess, the night out after.
Too right. The best jersey swap you've ever done? Do you swap jerseys?
No, we don't.
No?
Yeah, well, we...
Because, again, in international, like, 15s, you always end up in the change room with them after, have a beer and swap your jerseys. So you don't do that in sevens?
No. We actually wear the same jersey for the whole season.
Really?
Yeah, so we only get one. So, like, you kind of don't want to give it away.
Yeah, that would be very good.
Yeah.
What? So you never swap jerseys?
No.
They need to change that. We've got to change that. Sevens, we've got to change that. We've got to try and work out how we do that. You want to obviously get other jerseys on your wall, right?
Yeah, we need Rugby Australia to grow its budget slightly.
Yeah, so
we can get a few extra jerseys.
You've
as
got
well.
Rid of Eddie Jones.
Like, yeah.
get him in. Oh, that's pretty interesting. What do you love most about Sevens?
I think, like, it's just so hard. And, like, I love that it's hard. I love pushing myself to, like, the absolute limit. I love the training and just, like, just how physically demanding it is. And then I think also, like, we only travel with 12 or 13 players, so, like, the squad's really tight-knit and you, like, develop these friendships that, you spend every single minute together and go through, like, these highs and lows. And I think it really, like, creates these really special moments as a group.
I'm not saying... You're nearly at the end, but you've got plenty left in the tank. But what is life after rugby for Charlotte Caslick?
I don't know. I'd love to obviously start a family. That's probably, like, my biggest priority when I finish.
Yeah, because that's difficult for women in rugby, right? I saw something the other day about one of the ladies at Bristol Bears that had a baby and is trying to go back to carry on playing. That's a big thing, eh?
Yeah, we're really lucky in Australia. We've got, like, a great maternity policy and, there's lots of plans in place for if girls do decide to have a baby and, like, they can come on tour with us and, we're really progressive in that sense. But I think it's obviously, like, you can't play rugby while you're pregnant and then there's, like, getting back to full fitness and everything. It's so many unknowns. So that would definitely be, like, one of my priorities when I finish playing. And my partner and I have a cattle farm back in Queensland that I'd love to go back and, like, spend some time there.
Farm girl.
But I don't think I'd ever, like, fully leave rugby. Like, I want to be involved. If I could be involved with the group at the 2032 Olympics, I think obviously not playing.
Hold on.
Yeah, not playing.
Really forward planning.
But, like, if I could maybe, like, develop into a coach by then, that would be really cool.
Yeah, too right. Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. And then the last, here we go, just on Hong Kong. Favourite thing about Hong Kong?
Besides the sevens.
Besides the sevens.
Maybe the food. I think the food's been great everywhere we've been. Like, the food in the hotel is really good. And then we've been to the markets and the food's great out there too. So, food.
Favourite dish?
They've actually got this sweet and sour pork on the room service menu that I've ordered probably, like, way too many times, but it's pretty good.
And your favourite thing to do when you're in Hong Kong?
I think probably going to the markets. We do that every year we've been here. The girls go and get their knockoff bags and stuff.
I don't know if we can put that bit in there. Oh, the old knockoffs.
Yeah.
And have you, because I've not been yet, but there's a beach near here.
Yeah, we have been to the beach, but we didn't go in the water. I don't know, we're a bit precious being from Australia and having the best beaches in the world. But yeah, the beaches are pretty cool. We do our captain's run there every year.
Awesome. Charlotte, thank you so much. We'll tie this into the podcast, but that's been awesome.
Cool, thanks.
Appreciate it.
I hope you enjoyed that fabulous interview with Ryan and Charlotte. We will be doing more with the Sevens, of course, coming up with the Olympics and Antoine Dupont at Paris 2024. But from all of us at the More or Nothing show, thank you for listening. Bye.
More or Nothing.